An excerpt from the book Heaven and Hell by Allan Kardec, Part 2, Chapter 5, The Father and the Conscript. At the beginning of the war with Italy in 1859, a Paris businessman and father, held in high esteem by all his neighbors, had a son who was drafted into the military. Since he could not exempt his son from the service due to his social position, the idea occurred to him to commit suicide in order to exempt the young man as the sole surviving son of a widow. 1 year later, he was evoked at the Parisian Society at the request of a person who had known him and who wanted to learn about his fate in the spirit world. And so the question was posed to St. Louis before the meeting began. Could you please tell us if it would be possible to evoke the spirit whom we were just talking about?
Yes, and he will be very pleased because it will bring him some relief.
And so the evocation, in written form, began like this.
Oh, thank you. I'm suffering so much, but it's just... Yet, he will forgive me.
Here, the spirit has difficulty writing. The characters are irregular and badly made. After the word, but... He stops and tries in vain to continue. He only manages to make a few indecipherable characters and periods. It is obvious that he could not write the word God. Please fill in the gap with the word you didn't write.
I'm unworthy of it.
You said you were suffering, and there is no doubt that you erred in committing suicide. However, hasn't the reason why you did it brought you any indulgence?
The punishment will not be as long. But the act, per se, was wrong nonetheless.
Would you describe your punishment?
I'm suffering doubly, in my soul and in my body, even though I'm no longer in the possession of it, like an amputee feels pain in a limb that is no longer there.
Did you commit suicide solely to exempt your son, or were there other reasons?
I was completely led by paternal love, though wrongly so. In consideration for this, my punishment will be shortened.
Do you know when your suffering will end?
No, I don't. But I have the assurance it finally will, which is a relief for me.
A little while ago, you were unable to write the word God. But we have seen greatly suffering spirits write it. Is this part of your punishment?
I will be able to write it after making great efforts to repent.
Well then, make such efforts and try to write it. We are sure that if you succeed in doing so, it will bring you relief. And so, the spirit ended up writing the following phrase in crude, irregular, and shaky characters.
God is very good.
We are grateful that you came in response to our evocation, and we will pray for you, asking God to be merciful towards you.
Yes, please, if you would.
And so, another question was posed to St. Louis. Would you give us your personal appraisal about the spirit whom we have just evoked?
This spirit is suffering justly, for he lacked trust in God, a wrong that is always punishable. The punishment would be terrible and very long if it were not mitigated by the praiseworthy motive of keeping his son from being exposed to death in war. God, who is just and sees the depths of the heart, is only punishing this man according to his deeds.
And so Kardec goes on to explain. At first glance, this suicide might seem excusable, since it may be regarded as an act of self-sacrifice. Actually, though, this is not entirely correct. As St. Louis stated, this man lacked trust in God. Perhaps his action prevented his son's destiny from being fulfilled. Moreover, he could not be certain that his son would have died in battle, and maybe this career would have given him an opportunity to do something that would have been useful for his evolution. The father's intentions were undoubtedly good and will be taken into account. Intention mitigates a bad deed and merits indulgence, but it does not keep evil from being evil nonetheless. Otherwise, one could find an excuse for any misdeed whatsoever. One could even murder under the pretext of rendering a service. Would a mother who kills her son in order for him to go straight to heaven be less guilty for having done so with good intentions? According to such a theory, one could justify all the crimes that have been committed as a result of the blind fanaticism of religious wars. In principle, humans do not have the right to dispose of their own life, for it has been given to them because of the duties they are to fulfill while on Earth. A sufficient reason for them not to intentionally shorten their life under any pretext. But since they have free will, no one can keep them from doing so, although they will always suffer the consequences. The suicide most severely punished is the one that results from the desperation of seeking to evade life's miseries. These miseries are the expiations and trials at the same time, and withdrawing from them is to refuse the task one has accepted, and sometimes even the mission one must fulfill. Suicide does not consist solely in the intentional act that produces instant death. Suicide occurs whenever anything is consciously done that will prematurely hasten the extinction of the vital forces. An act is not regarded as suicide when out of self-sacrifice, one exposes oneself to death in order to save another person's life. First, because in that case, there's no premeditated intention to withdraw from life. Second, because there is no danger from which Providence will not rescue us if our time has not yet come. Death, under such circumstances, is a meritorious sacrifice because it is a selfless act on behalf of someone else.